Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime. Holiness. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, your radio host today. We are going to talk today to you about the scripture and how it has not changed and how through Jesus Christ, that it is the only way. There's new doctrine that's going forth proclaiming that there's other gods that will lead us into the path, you know, of what God has for us. There's little g gods, but it's only through Jesus that we can reach the fullness of what God has for us. And we're also going to talk about the different idols that the enemy has put into the lives of people where we have made those our little g gods. But as always, our focus is and our purpose is to motivate us to be the bride for the Son of God, to be the bride that God is looking for his Son. And the main emphasis and the sole purpose that I want to bring out to you is how we are to glorify God. And that's our key focus on earth. And then we will close with what are we going to do with the time that we have left while we're here on this earth. Thank you so much for tuning in. The scripture that I want to start with is Malachi 3:6. You know, we may think that this whole earth, that everything is restructuring, everything is realigning us. But I want you to think about even now with the elections going on, it's such a battle in the spiritual realm. Things are realigning and things are being pulled this way. Things are being pulled that way. Things are being pulled up. Things are being pulled down. There's clashes. There's confusion. There is almost like a realigning. But there's always, always a foundation that you can stand upon, that you can sit upon, that firm and solid foundation that God has for us, that God has for all of us. There's that firm foundation. So, and that is for those who are faithful. You know, I believe in this season, sometimes people want to settle, and this is where the enemy has come in. Well, this person's wrong, this person's wrong, this person's right, this person's right, and that's become our attitude. And what we haven't done is to really say, what does God say about this? What does God say about that? You know, with God, you know, there can be the black, the white, there's holiness or not holiness, there's light, there's darkness. And so in evaluating our foundation, in this season, for those that are faithful, he's saying there's a firm foundation. And in everything that we do, even in the quiet time of your heart or your devotion, really ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Whether it's for your job, whether if it's during this election time, you know, why are we even voting? You know, one of the things that I like to say is that I vote for principles. I vote for godly principles. I vote for morals, for things that are ethical, and examining my heart. So is it because I don't like this person? Why don't I like this person? Why do I like this person? But what is the foundation that God has for us while we're here on this earth? You know, what foundation are we to be standing on? And that's that solid foundation. So first of all and foremost, God's character, it has not changed. He has not changed and he cannot change. Let's read Malachi 3 and 6. Malachi 3 and 6. And it reads as follows. It says, I am the Lord, he declares. I do not change. So God is not changed. Every year I read through the Bible and I look at the Old Testament and I see that all God wanted the Israelites to be and the Jews is to be his people and for him to be their God. That's it. He still hasn't changed. In 2016, 2017, 2008, he still hasn't changed. He's saying to you, I'm looking for that faithful foundation. No matter what's shaking around you, no matter what is going on around you, he says, nothing has changed in me. I'm still looking for people to say, I serve the mighty God, and I acknowledge who he is. Through the power and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So think about everything that we do in affirming our foundation, even at this election time. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Who would Jesus vote for? Well, you may say, well, Jesus wouldn't vote. Well, he does say while we're on this earth, we have to obey the authorities and the rules that are there. And even when the people cried out for a king and they got Saul, and God gave David, even now we've been handled and handed the power of attorney to walk in the fullness and stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified because we're seated in heavenly places beside him. But remembering that the scripture says, I am the Lord, he declares, I do not change. Here's a great quote by A.W. Tozer, and I believe in the scripture, have not changed, was right. The word of God, he says, and I love this quote, it's like an antibiotic. You know, I had I knew of someone who died because they didn't believe in medication. They didn't get their healing, and all they really needed was an antibiotic. It could have helped them to be on this earth longer. But the Word of God is like an antibiotic. It seeks out. So when that antibiotic goes into your body and you swallow it, and that pill dissolves, or whether if it's liquid amoxicillin or whatever, if it's for a child or it goes in, and that antibiotic, it comes in, and it's looking. It's going through your body, your red cells, your blood cells. It's going through there looking for the virus. It's cleaning up that virus. Just like you would have on your computer. It goes in, and it looks and searches for something that's not supposed to be there. And so what A.W. Tozer is saying is that the Word of God is an antibiotic that seeks out and destroys the viruses that would try to plague, to take over. You know, we think about a plague. It comes in, and it can spread to this person, this person, this person. And that virus can, and some viruses and plagues, like the bubonic plague, it took out so many people. You have an epidemic, and then it becomes a pandemic. It becomes so huge and so big, but that can happen to the church. So his full quote is, the Word of God is the antibiotic that seeks out and destroys the viruses that would plague the life of the church. It can even take out your life as an individual. So God's Word It's eternal. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God, according to Isaiah 40 and 8, stands forever. That's the firm foundation that we are standing upon. The gospel hasn't changed. Sometimes the way we may say things, even the way we're communicating now, oh my goodness, the way we communicate, it's changed over the years. It used to be through da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You'd have the Western Union, or you would have the telephone. Right now, we're using our computers. There's so many different ways that we're communicating. Through texts, I have overseas so many different ways we communicate, so many programs, to WhatsApp, to some different countries use different ones. Years ago, the scribes, they wrote the word. They communicated. They communicated by telling stories. But the gospel hasn't changed, but methods have changed. And if we look at the gospel, it's in constant, like flux, but the gospel itself, it never changes. We see a lot of religious people, leaders today, they're trumpeting and they're going out with this uncertain sound, especially during this time, and it's always been with this grace. I even heard someone the other day just, say, you can't even live safe. You can't live holy. We can, as long as we live a repentant life. We're all sinners and fall short of God's glory. But when we live repentant, then we could walk into the blessings of God. So there's that gospel that's going out with that sound, even about salvation. And this is what I want to get to today. To say the least, to some people, it can be confusing. A very confusing time, even during the time now, theologically. Can you imagine someone newly born that's coming in and they are newly saved and someone is saying there's this grace message and you can go to Jesus, but Buddha, take him bananas, oranges, and money. You can make it to heaven by Confucius. You can make it to heaven by Sun Yung Meng. You can make it to heaven because right now we are the black liberalist movement, and we are the ones that's making it. I had someone tell me that the other day. And they're like, we're the black messiahs. I'm like, okay. And we're making it, and we're the only ones, they told me. We're the only tribe that's going to make it in. I was like, well, I haven't heard of you. And I go to the gym, I've heard about that one. And I go to the gym a lot, and there's so many religions that are coming up. And so theologically, you're like, okay, what do I believe? But for Christians who hold the scripture as paramount authority, there's no uncertainty. There's no confusion. An evangelical would say this, and this is an affirmation. We affirm that Jesus Christ is the only way of God. He's the only way to God. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only mediator between God and humanity. John 14:6 and 1 Timothy 2:5. We deny that anyone is saved in any other way than by Jesus Christ and his gospel. The Bible offers no hope that sincere worshipers of other religions are going to be saved without the personal faith in Jesus Christ. And it's like some of the churches have been even afraid to say Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no other way. So we're talking about what foundation are we standing on? The character of God has not changed. He cannot change. He says, I am the Lord, he declares. I do not change. It seems like all things are realigning. There's a new season. Well, you do have new seasons. But still, there's nothing changed with God. You know, as the former, there's not no former, or it's all the same with God. But what we need is a strong, firm foundation that we're standing on. We shared a few weeks back during Hurricane Matthew. Out of Matthew, it says where the storm came through, those houses that were on the sand, they blew over. But for those that are not in a firm foundation, then it can't stand. So God is saying, we want to be on that firm foundation, that Jesus Christ and his saving power, it's an anchor that's going to hold us. When everything else seems to shake off its hinges, God is saying to you, you've experienced that redemptive lift. You know, when there's a lift, there's an effort that has to be done to lift you up. If someone was to lift me up or lift you up, there would have to be an effort in it. And that effort was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. So let's look at it this way. We have to gather every relic, every idol that's in our path, that's in our home. Anything that would not turn you towards Jesus. Because he's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, just picture a circle. And in the middle, like you sitting there. Where is Christ? Is he outside that circle, inside that circle, at the bottom? Or you see an S circle for self? Where is that circle in the circle? Is that sitting where you are and Christ is at the bottom? Christ should be sitting right on you and self on the outside. And that's what God is saying, the foundation that we're to walk in. He is there, not the idols of self or the idols of what is going on in our culture, what is going on around us. But that's what God is asking us today as we walk into the fullness of everything that he has for us. Now, I want to close with this, and this is what I really want to get to you. The transforming power of the gospel is what we're needing. That's why Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You know, the gospel hasn't changed. God is still looking for those that will go out. The purpose of the church is to bring God's glory, worldwide proclamation, reception, and the worship of his son, Jesus Christ. Here's a great quote by D.L. Moody. He said, "Never think that Jesus commanded a trifle, nor dare to trifle with anything he has commanded." So God, he's searching for a bride for his son, Jesus. And here's a quote by Paul Bilheimer. He observed, "Romance is at the heart of the universe." Romance is at the heart. Come on. It's at the heart of the universe. In the marital union, the bride typically assumes the surname of what her groom, and that is actually what God had, what happened as God visited the Gentiles to take out of them the people for his name's sake, according to Acts 15:14. So let's ask you today as we close, what is the purpose? You know, what is our sole purpose for being here on the earth? You know, as I minister, I always like to ask people, you know, like, what are you going to do with the rest of the time you have? My dad lived to be 120, 109, rather. God says you can live to be 120, but what are we going to do with those remaining 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, however long? What is our purpose? The answer is simple. It's profound and it's biblical. The sole purpose of man is to glorify God and to joy him forever. When we leave here, we're going home. And yet there is a hell. Are you going to burn in hell? I heard people say they want to be there with their friends and they're going to party. Or do you want to be in eternity with Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sake, that we could make it in? He wants us to enjoy him forever. And how do we obey him? By obedience. That's it. Obedience is how we obey. But that's what he's looking for. We glorify him by the obeying, by the obedience that we do. And that obedience is towards what he's directing, not what we want. He's on the throne of our lives. Like today we were saying, "Lord, here we are. Send us, God. Where do you want us to go? God, we'll go." Bible says if you go and they don't welcome you, shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Go to the next town. Preach the gospel. They're waiting for you. So let's glorify him by obedience to his directive, drawing on his power that's in his life, and the life that's in him is in us. So the most that we can do is just God honoring. Destiny fulfilling. I believe, and I know, and I love my life. Because life is life that's led, controlled by the Holy Spirit. In full submission to his prompting and his clear command. I'm telling you, when you get the Holy Spirit's prompting and you get the Holy Spirit's clear command, My goodness. It becomes an addiction. So many times now we're praying for this person to be released from the addiction of heroin. This person over here is doing methamphetamine, and they have a new one out called, maybe it's been out, called ICE. And this person's doing cocaine, and this person's doing crack, and this person's drinking gin, and this person's drinking vodka, and this person's drinking the red wine and the white wine and the bourbon, and the, because it's a spirit. It's a feeling that they get. But can you imagine? The clear commands of the Holy Spirit and following that and receiving the wine of the Holy Spirit, when we're addicted to that, we're not so concerned about all the denomination affiliations and all the networks and the structures. Because in our hearts, we're in the community of faith, and that includes the world Christian. So as I close, we're in a late time, a late hour in God's prophetic timetable. We don't want to belittle and do the, it's too late for that. It's too near the end to be frivolous and uncertain. There's a great quote by Rabin Hill, and he answers when he was asked, do you believe we're living in the last days? He said, no, I believe we're living in your last days. Rabin Hill responded. And that's not only our best shot at the global harvest, only shot. When it comes to your target, and to the direction of your life's influence, let's aim well and be on the firm foundation. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, you've been listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. God, add a blessing and fill this word in the Holy Spirit.